Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the ZabeCast, a very special in-person three-way discussion with longtime Milwaukee TV sports guy Dan Needles and his boy Drew Olson. We take a look at local TV trends, how it's going, plus the difference between Big J, Little J, and you just lost your J journalism. Also, some thoughts on tanking, Dion's luggage, and a whole lot more. Your 40-minute dose of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go! Here we go! Tuesday, December 6, 2022. Thank you for downloading. Before we get to Mr. Needles and Drew Olson, as I cornered them in the little performance lounge in our radio headquarters here in Milwaukee, where I am this week, at 97.3 The Game. Make sure to tune in. Put it on your iHeart app so you can listen to the show free of charge and whenever you want. Before I get to my conversation with those guys, because I cornered them in the office, I had a quick thought about two things. Tanking and Dion. Dion and tanking. Or tanking and luggage, which is really the reference to how Dion opened his tenure, however long that may be, at Colorado. But first on tanking, there is, believe it or not, a decent amount of Packer fans. I don't know what percentage. I'd have to guess. But it's greater than 0% for sure, by a good number, that really would like the team to just start losing. Lose for draft position. Now, you may be shocked, or maybe not, or you may scream at the top of your lungs, hypocrite, when I tell you that would be a terrible, stupid, pointless idea. What? Zabe, you're the king of tanking for draft position. I used to listen to you say that all the time with Andy on the Sports Reporters. I had in the past, and in theory for some sports, I do believe in tanking, but not in this particular case. To me, in the NFL, there is no tanking from a mid-round position. There are already too many wins in the books to really get a super high draft pick, although if they didn't win another game, I guess they would be in the top five. But they're in the middle of the first round right now, and so therefore it's hard to tank when you're in the middle of the pack. And then secondly, and this is what's very important, tanking in the NFL should be for one thing and one thing only, and that is a quarterback that is deemed to be of generational talent, and it's you and one other team who are currently swimming the bottom of the NFL depths. That's it. That's the only time you should endeavor to tank. And even when you do, and even when you pull it off, like the Colts did to get Andrew Luck, it may not actually work out in the long run. It worked out for a little while with Luck. They made the playoffs. He was good when he wasn't getting killed and getting hurt out there. But, you know, for the most part, it did not change the fortunes of the franchise. And they almost blew that as well because they almost won a game down the stretch there. It's like, what are you doing? You're going to blow it. But that's it. That's all the tanking in the NFL should only be if it's you and one other team and there is a generational quarterback talent coming out. That's it. Otherwise, losing breeds more losing. It's corrosive to the culture, and it pisses off your fan base. Because unlike baseball, in which you can just gut your roster and say, look, we're going to lose 100 games this summer, but we're going to keep loading up draft picks, and we're doing this with a plan in place. That's how the Nationals built their World Series championship team. They paid for it in blood with back-to-back 100-loss seasons. And so they got to draft Strasburg and Harper, the core of that team. And even though Harper left before they won the World Series, they also drafted smartly and developed their own guys. They lost a bunch of guys that were nine-figure contract guys. But still, in baseball, it's often the price you have to pay, unfortunately, to be competitive if you are not in a major market. Look at the moves that were made today. The Mets grabbing Verlander, paying $43 million per year for not one, but 2 years at age 40. Now, he may be worth it, and the Yankees apparently offered more, but still. How are the Kansas Cities, the Milwaukees, the Tampas going to compete with that? And other small market teams, they're going to have to be nimble. They're going to have to get young guys. Now, Tampa's doing it to a certain degree pretty darn well on the cheap. It can be done, but in baseball, tanking is a thing. In the NBA, it's a little bit more difficult because you may tank for a guy, but you don't have him for very long, and the NBA is a lifestyle league, and so as soon as that star player is sick of living in your town, unless you're very lucky and you catch a superstar like Giannis, who's a humble kid from Athens who loves Milwaukee and doesn't want to go anywhere else, thank God for that, you're not going to keep that guy very long, so that's not really much of a viable strategy. So for the record, for the Packers, stop it. Anyone who's saying, lose more because I want a better draft pick. You can say, once they're truly mathematically out of it, and I think their number is at 4% now, but once that goes to zero or at close to zero, then yeah, by all means, start Jordan Love, see what you got. I'm fine with that. But don't think there's going to be any tanking going on. Now let's talk Deion for a second. Deion basically cut a wrestling promo or an episode of The Apprentice, back when, you know, Donald Trump was socially acceptable to the Hollywood elite because he was not running for president. He was just being a clown on television for everyone's amusement. Look at that clown. Look at that red hair. What a tool. Or the, red face, blondish hair. Deion comes in and says, basically, and I'm summarizing and synthesizing and paraphrasing, you suck, you players here at Colorado, those of you who showed your face at this opening press conference, of which there seemed to be only about 20 or 30, you guys suck, so get out. Get in the transfer portal. And bragged about how I'm bringing my luggage with me, and it's Louis. As in Louis Vuitton. Oh my God, he's so rich, he's so cool. Wow, he called it Louis. Named his own son, Shadur. Interesting name, the starting quarterback, but then quickly added but he's going to earn it. Wait a minute. Don't you have to, you know what? Never mind. You're on a roll, primetime. Now, this was both a bullshit thing to do to kids in college who did not deserve to be made unwitting props for all of Dion's cameras and social media people. But there probably was, I would be willing to bet, one or two guys in that room who are pretty good players, who've been working their ass off, who may have had a lifelong dream growing up somewhere in the Mountain West to play for the once mighty Colorado Buffaloes Division I football program. And they were once mighty, but they have been through the desert wandering on a horse with no name for quite a while. Well, the horse's name is losing. Anyway, that's bullshit to them. But okay, Dion, whatever makes you look cool. Now you can say, oh, cry me a river, Zabe. This is the world the players wanted in college. This is why Ed O'Bannon sued. And yeah, to a certain extent, you're right. That we are now living in this world where this is all it is. It's crass, brute, commercial strength. What players can you bring? What players can you buy? Who will come with you? But how long will it last? And how will they be cohesive? You know, Lincoln Riley got it to work at USC, but I don't know if the changes will be as wholesale as they will be at Colorado. But of the 70-so players, let's just say there's 80 players on Colorado's extended football roster, I'd bet there's a dozen that are good players that you'd want to keep. And of those dozen players who saw that press conference or maybe were there to listen to Dion basically say, you suck, get out, if they lose 8 of those 12 guys that you might otherwise want to keep, then that's a losing move. That was a strategically dumb move. Now, I get it. Dion wanted to clear the decks as much as possible because I've got all these transfers coming in. There was a report that there was 200 potential transfer portal guys that wanted in. All right, well, just pick the 70 best and let's go win some games. Well, if it's that easy, maybe it is. I guess we're going to find out. But I thought it was Bush League and low class to say that what Dion did. I think it was Bush League and low class what Dion did. And to say so on most mainstream outlets would get you mock and ridicule and scorn. So I share with it here on my own platform where I can speak freely and say, no, fuck that shit. You want a clear house? Fine. Your prerogative. I know. The program's bad. The players are subpar. But not all of them. And you're not Vince fucking McMahon. So have a little dignity. These are still college kids. Oh, by the way.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
And with that, I pivot. Dan Needles did television for nearly 30 years in the Milwaukee market, and he was very good on the air. nice, solid paying job, and actually had an offer to continue in his, I think, 30th year at the station, but decided in good health at 58 years old, nah, you know what? I think I'm done. Pretty amazing considering most of these TV jobs, for sports at least, in the local markets are going away. But he did it, and he couldn't be happier now, and he's a good dude with some good takes. Don't agree with all of them. And he's good friends with Drew Olsen, who works at our station. So I said, boys, let me just pull you aside for about 30 minutes and see where the wild goose goes. And we'll do it our way, yes, our way.
Make our they said, I expect our sports director to be here on Packers Sundays. That was part of the negotiation. I said, fine, okay. He hasn't been there. Six of them.
No, he doesn't work. Dario?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So that was part of your deal when you said, nah, I think I'll just retire.
Yeah.
I was too young to retire, by the way. Can you believe this? This is your boy, right, Drew?
Yes, indeed.
That Needles is absolutely one of your boys here in Milwaukee.
Indeed, yes.
Not just media, but
sure.
Generally speaking.
Absolutely. Yep.
You've known each other for how long?
30, like mid-80s.
Yeah. I was
at
a college party. I was visiting buddies from Oshkosh, and he had just graduated and gone up to New London to do radio. And he came back in, and I'm hanging out with the guys that I went to high school with, guys that I grew up with that were in Oshkosh. He came back in and was like this hero. It's like, hey, everybody screamed, hey, Needle Dick, when he walked in the door. I'm like, that's a great nickname. So I saw him here as a members-only jacket, his perm.
I know. That's striking. The other thing we're going to get into.
It was striking.
Not just his late finding of romance and his true love in life, which is a beautiful story, and his premature retirement from television when he didn't have to retire because he's too young for Boca del Vista. But his handicap's gone way down, by the way. It's the fact that he, like I, has come to embrace the follicular desert. Is that even a word?
Follicular.
I saw old photos of you, Needles, and I was like, wow, he really had a head of cabbage.
I had, when I was in high school, okay, at the time there was like an NFL Films video with Gene Washington of the 49ers in it, and he took off his afro, or took off his helmet, and his magnificent afro just popped out of it. So a buddy of mine and I, we decided we were going to grow real big afros so we could take off our helmets. And our hair would pop. And it didn't. It was just bashed down on the side and straight up on top. It looked like Abraham Lincoln.
That you right there?
Kid and play.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, I had a lot of hair.
So you lost your hair late.
Yeah, there's a family history. I saw it. I saw my brother losing his. I could see that the power alleys were extending right up there.
Right.
And.
But what age?
This would have been, no, late 40s, probably?
Yeah, see, that's late.
That's late.
Yeah. See, I lost mine when I was basically, I don't know, post-college. There you go. Now I'm embracing it.
Now you are, because you're amongst kindred spirits.
I'm amongst kith and kin right now.
But, you know, in TV, they don't really embrace that for the most part. For years, you get a toop. An old friend of mine, Steve the Homer True, he used to do TV for us.
Right.
And they made him put a toupee on. And he would literally, like, put a couple pieces of tape on it and just flap it on. And then as soon as he was done, off it goes. He didn't want to do it, but that's the way it was back then. And I had a couple of news directors that I had talked to and said, mind if I shave my head? No way. You can't do that. Finally had one, a guy named Ben Hart, who was very progressive. He's like, yeah. But you know what? Let's do something with it. And he came up with this idea. We'll raise money for a Boys and Girls Club. If we get to a certain amount, I'll shave my head. Well, I was going to shave my head anyway, but they ended up raising like $17,000 for Boys and Girls Club. So
nice.
It was great. And they embraced it. And now I'm seeing more and more. It's not because of me, but I think it's because of this age, more and more
television. No doubt white guy baldness has become way more accepted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like true bald, not horseshoe bald like the bad guys in TV and movies, but sleek bald. Like I'm not fooling around. I'm bald, so deal with it.
I'm not a student of this at all. But
no, you got great cap.
I think the touchstone was Michael Jordan, though. Because
absolutely.
Back in the day, remember Clyde Drexler's hairline? It used to be you just let it go, and then Jordan started to shave it because he was probably
That is true.
His troops were receding.
For me, it was a guy named Slick Watts.
Slick Watts was there, too. But
Jordan made it cool.
He made it cool.
But it helped that he was Michael Effin Jordan. Yes.
Absolutely.
And he had a magnificent body.
And he was on every commercial.
Yeah.
Black. I mean, it worked for him.
It did.
Yeah, you know, most white guys can't pull it off.
No, most white guys look like Savalas. Who is the guy with the Bulls? Caruso?
I was thinking the guy from
Alex Caruso,
the Munson family. From or the Munsters.
Munsters?
Yeah.
What, like?
Herman Munster, Herman the bald Munster. Guy with the light bulb in his mouth.
Oh, no, that was the Adams family.
Adams family.
Adams family.
Uncle Fester?
Munster. Uncle Fester. Yes. That's the Uncle Fester looking. Munson family, Munster family. So you mentioned the TV thing. I have a good friend who lives in Houston. He now is doing great in medical sales, making a ton of money. But he used to be in television in Arkansas. You know, not a big market, Arkansas. And he was losing his hair. And he said consultants there were like, you got to get hair plugs. And at one point, he's like, what am I doing this for $42,500 a year, working weekends and Monday through Friday?
I never had anybody tell me I had to get any hair plugs or anything like that,
but they
which was great.
Didn't want you to shave your head, though.
No.
No, that was
because
the news
they thought I had too much hair still, but I could see where it was going. I could see
like,
the future.
You're not
eligible
to shave it yet. Just stick with it.
Well, there's a story that goes back with my station. We had a guy who worked for us named Dwayne Gate. You remember Dwayne very well.
Absolutely. Yeah, died of cancer.
Died of cancer. And he had several bouts with cancer that he beat and then came back. And right about that time, one of our news anchors, the late Mike Anderson, came into work one day. He had this great afro, and one day his head was shaved. And we got hundreds of phone calls with people saying, oh, my God, does Mike Anderson have cancer? And after that, the station wrote into everybody's contract, you have to get permission for any major changes in appearance.
Wow, that's funny. So anyway, here we are. You're retired. How old are you, Dan?
Almost 60.
Almost 60.
Knock, knock, knocking on 60's
door. I hate to admit that I'm going to be right there as well, 54. I might as well be 60. So you retired when you actually had an offer from ISN 12 to stay.
Yes.
That's pretty unprecedented, Drew.
It is.
This man here walked away
Jordan-esque
from easy TV money.
I didn't want to feel like I was just mailing it in, and I started to at times feel like that. And there were things that came up. Okay, when the Bucks won the championship, they won it on Tuesday. Game 7 would have been Thursday. If they win the championship in Game 7, then they have a victory parade on Saturday. That's the day I was getting married. Half the people going to the wedding weren't going to be able to be there because they're going to have to be covering the damn victory parade. And I probably would have had to be there too.
Were you rooting like crazy for the Bucks that night?
I was.
Not just as a Milwaukeean.
But at that same time, my mother was dying from cancer. She was 90 years old. And didn't know she was going to make it to my wedding.
Wow.
And they asked me to go out and cover the games in Phoenix. And I had a bachelor party scheduled and all the wedding stuff. And I'm like, I can't. And
did you tell them no?
I did.
How'd they react?
I think they kind of understood.
Okay.
But at that point, I realized for the first time in 35 years working in this business, I was putting personal stuff ahead of professional, where it was much more important. And I probably should have done that earlier, but now that I got married, my wife is a elementary school principal. So she gets up at 4:45 in the morning. I would get home at 11:30 at night. We'd never see each other except for on weekends, and I had to work weekends half the year.
Right.
So I didn't want to do that. I was married once before, and that didn't work out too well, and I'm thinking the hours had something to do with it. So I wanted to make this work.
Well, that's good. That sounds like a smart decision right there. So when it comes to local TV news and sports, I'll say this, Dan. In the D.C. market, they don't have you anymore or people like you. Most of the local stations have either outsourced their sports or they just let a news anchor do it. The glory days of George Michael on WRC, Channel 4, with the sports machine, and Glenn Brenner, who died way too early of a brain tumor. Those days are gone. It's kind of sad because I knew all these people in local TV sports, and they've just eliminated the position. Why here in Milwaukee, a market many rungs down the ladder, do stations still invest in sports guys.
They do, but not as much.
Okay.
Okay. Channel 4, WTMJ, they used to travel to like every Packers game. Now, if you watch their sports, they have a news anchor reading over a couple of Bucks highlights generically, right, and then they throw to a package by one of the sports people.
Okay.
So they're not as invested. Mild station, and they did it when I was there, rarely travels to Packers games unless it's a game that's going to be on their air.
Oh, okay.
Then they do.
Which is ABC. So
yes,
ESPN,
the Fox
ABC,
station,
like a wild card game,
right?
Or a Monday night game,
right?
Yeah.
The Fox station here travels to all the Packers games, and they're heavily invested in Packers. But Fox is an NFL station, you know.
Yeah.
So for years, like when I started in television, and even when I was growing up watching in Milwaukee, the sports guys got like 4.5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it was
4.5 television.
A lot.
Yeah.
It was big real estate.
Whoa.
When my first TV job was in Wausau, and there was a Saturday night where I had 9.5 minutes. In Wausau.
9.5 minutes.
So I picked up a camera.
Wausau East High School, 42.
Right. I picked up a camera, went and shot 3 high school basketball games in the area, ran back, had to produce the whole show, edit everything, had these long scoreboards of NHL, NBA, whatever, to fill 9.5 minutes. Nowadays, you don't get anywhere close to that, but they segment it out. You never used to see Packers in the A block of the newscast unless it was something huge. Coach change, big trade, huge win in the playoffs or something. Now it's Matt LaFleur spoke today. And it's like the third story in the newscast. Yep. The next story is, you know, 5 dead in a shooting in Milwaukee.
Right.
There's not a lot of
in between
reality there. Yeah.
So why is it ever coming back?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, it's kind of like newspapers.
Why? It's very much like newspapers. There's a lot of reasons, but the thinking in newsrooms and for management is, if people care about the game, they've got it on their phones, they're watching ESPN, why should we show a highlight? Why should we give up that real estate when we're up against SportsCenter and sports fans are watching SportsCenter?
To which I would say, if people cared about the weather, they've got it on their phones.
There you go.
Right.
Why do they go 4 deep on weather people?
Because they get it wrong less locally than the others. I don't know.
Research shows that's what people want to see. That's what they're still watching the news for.
I think in Milwaukee, you're still going to have, like, even though what I said about WTMJ, they still have a 3-person sports staff. And there's still going to be sports coverage because of the huge fever for Packers.
Yeah.
And SportsCenter won't always cover just the Packers.
Right.
But high school stuff, too. And high school stuff is still big.
I think that's the difference here, Drew, is just seeing how the Midwest is about their sports, that there is a much more localized interest. And there is that high school and that local college interest that drives the reasoning of, yes, we should have somebody talk about this.
The thing is, though, until Giannis and like the last 30 years with the Packers, you didn't hear on the sports centers. Like, they didn't cover local. They didn't cover the Bucks. But the Brewers would never make a sports
center. So they wouldn't cover the pro teams locally.
Yeah, locally.
Like, the pro teams locally.
No.
ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We're flyover country for SportsCenter. So that was the thing. And that fed that part partially too. But even Tim Scott is from Madison, our boss here at the radio station. He was shocked to come here and see that the Packers are the A block every Sunday night. Like, they're the first, you know, 5 minutes of the news is the Packers game. He's like, that doesn't happen in Madison.
Is that grip slipping a bit?
What do you think?
I think it's inevitable that it will as soon as Rodgers is gone.
They've wrung the washcloth, though. When the Packers first got good, when Favre and the resurgence under Favre and Holmgren and Wolf, it was cash. It was eyeballs and it was cash. And we had Packers shows. Homer hosted
a
Packers show.
More.
Couldn't have enough.
Back in the mid '90s, every Wednesday I would go to the Packers Hall of Fame and do a sit down interview with first Brett Favre, then Reggie White.
Every Wednesday,
we had these exclusive one-on-ones with them.
Wow.
That stuff doesn't happen anymore.
No,
but
they don't give access to that, or they make you pay.
Right, that fed into that because there was so much thirst for all those bad years of Packers that suddenly, they're good, we're going to jump on it. And
was that while they were playing?
Oh, yeah.
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 Wow. But the personality of Favre And then
and Reggie
and now Rodgers. Whether you like him or not, the looniness, the 9-11.
It's not a sellable mainstream personality.
No, but there's always some news in there.
Well, there is, but I'm saying I'm not sure.
Put it in the A block.
Would they? I mean, if Rodgers were to agree to such an interview, which he wouldn't, because he's got McAfee.
Right.
His own thing that he controls, and I'm sure gets paid for. Right, he gets paid by McAfee.
I would assume
absolutely.
So.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Even though they act like dude bros together, he's getting some money from that. Right.
Yeah.
So Favre and Reggie did it with you for free.
No, we didn't pay them. Their agent sold commercials to deal with this, and then paid them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that kept us from getting dirty hands or something. I don't know.
You could still be a big J journalist.
They were getting paid.
They were getting paid to do it. Yeah.
Is he a journalist?
Dan, he walks that fine line. He's as big J journalist as you can be in the TV side of things because they're foofy. A sous-sens of foof.
Is he F-O-O-F. A big J journalist?
Not anymore. I've become everything I used to make fun of.
Did he lose it when he joined our filthy, sewer-ridden business?
See, once upon a time, like when I started in the business, and Drew is the exception to this, but newspaper guys and TV and radio, we're over here, and they're eyeing us like, don't you dare. We're real journalists. Yeah. Get out of here. They're over in a corner. They're waiting until everybody else is away to ask their questions about second and long. What was your blocking assignment? You know, and we're over here. We don't care. Yeah. We just want a soundbite.
10 seconds of a soundbite. You know? Exactly.
And at some point, Drew was at the forefront of this. These guys realized, wait a minute. I can make money doing some radio and some TV.
Right.
Yeah.
And you saw many do that. Tom Haudricourt really was good at that, you know. And some guys resisted, but more and more, and it bridged that gap.
Gammons was our first guy over the wall, and then guys like Mort and guys, you know, guys that kind of went, Peter King to an extent too.
Right, guys
that went over the wall and bridged it. It used to be silos. When I was in college, you majored in radio, TV, PR, or print. Those were the three silos that you had to choose from. And I was a good writer, so I was in print. And it never dawned on me that was a different world. Like, I couldn't be on TV. I don't know how to look at a camera. I don't know how any of that stuff works. I have no idea.
Well, they can teach a monkey to do it.
But they didn't.
But if you didn't do it
in college and you didn't come up that way, you were out of your silo.
In some ways, it's easier to teach the radio TV than it is the journalism part, the writing a story. You know, writing a story for TV is so different than writing a story for a newspaper.
Sports radio helped the writers because the writers are generally glib, wise asses that are good on sports radio.
Some of them.
Some are verbose. And
some writers are great with the keyboard, and then you get them on the air, and they're Michigan J. Frog.
Yes.
In college, I had a radio, TV, film major. Journalism was a completely different emphasis. So I had that for a minor.
What college?
I went to the Harvard of the Midwest, or basically, UW Oshkosh is the Harvard is the Oshkosh of the East. Let's put it that way. Okay.
It's the but that's the Medill School for Wisconsin media.
It was really good. Is
it really Oshkosh?
Oshkosh is where a lot of the radio TV people went.
All right.
Bob Brainerd, Dennis Krause, Doug Russell, Dan.
We got a lot of experience on air right away.
But that was the thing. Like the radio guys were just the guys who wanted anything free. That was like, you know, bobbleheads, I'll take six. There's hot dogs, I'll take three of those. And then they just like fill their bags and they would get their sound and send it as stringers to AP or whoever, and they would do their deal. And the TV guys would show up literally not being at the game. They would show up at like, you know, as the game was ending.
Ninth inning of the baseball game.
So we were like, oh, here come the blow, dry, and makeup guys. And it was a pain in the ass because when you're standing around an athlete's locker, you got the guy holding the mic and then the guy with the big camera, and they take up a lot of real estate.
And there's
jostling and stuff. And we're like, hey, you guys aren't here. Like, they're here for opening day, and then we don't see them again until July or August.
And the attitudes from the teams, my God, the PR people, like, well, you're not around here. These people are here all the time. They know what's going on. And our thought was, they're around there all the time, so they're getting brainwashed by, say, the Brewers into another bite of the apple, and they're trying really hard, and it's just unfair the way the monetary issues of baseball are. Instead of Mark Adonazio is the head of the group that bought it. He wanted the attention, so he'll be the head of the
syndicate,
and then he gets to be a celebrity and hang out with his boys, Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich, and then give them a lot of money without doing much background research on why they got good.
Right. So, in other words...
But doesn't spend the money to be competitive, just wants to be famous.
So, you think, Dan, that...
I didn't say I feel that way. I'm just saying some in this.
I know. I have a Brewer segment teed up here for a second, but you're saying that the writers, because they're around the team more, end up becoming like Stockholm Syndrome. They start to believe what the team is feeding them.
Not all of them, but
a lot of them.
They're a little protective of it.
Okay.
You know, and...
And they look at you TV guys like, oh, you just are drive-bys. You come here, you do your stand-up, you come for the three innings of the game, right, at the end of the game, and you're gone.
And I don't blame them for that either, because that a lot of times that is true.
You took some grief from PR people, but in my experience, there were times when TV people would show up for spring training. It's like, let's roll out the red carpet. Yeah, who do you want? Let's get the manager.
We'll have you do sit downs. Not with the Brewers.
That is true.
You guys can have
TV's ass. Yes, they would.
They would because we were there every day, so they could poop on us.
What would be really bottom of the barrel be sports radio? The people that have to say you suck on the radio, and then they're like, I hate that person.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm just telling you that there's a certain PR person for the Brewers might still be there. You know, that would be like, you want to talk to somebody? Go ask them. There was no rolling out of the red carpet.
That was a generation.
Go ask them.
And they'd allow the newspaper guys to go into the clubhouse, into the locker room, wherever, at spring training, and do interviews. But no, you can't bring a camera in there.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. All right, let's talk Brewers for a second, and I'm glad you're here, Drew. So I've been having this back and forth on the text thread. Today, it was just announced that Verlander signs with the Mets.
Yeah, Kate Upton, she can flip off the Phillies fans now real close.
2 years, $43 million per year for a guy who's 40.
And he turned down more money from the Yankees.
And 1 year removed from major arm.
Right.
He's a Cy Young winner, though.
And I said to my guys, I said, it makes you feel kind of hopeless, doesn't it, as a Brewer fan, thinking about what you're up against?
No.
You don't think it's hopeless?
No.
Why?
I don't think so at all.
Do you compete with that?
When was the last time the Mets won a World Series?
Well, is that your only bar?
When was the last time the Yankees won a World Series?
Is that your only bar?
Look, the Washington Nationals found a way.
They won.
To get out of the wild card game after they lost Bryce Harper.
Right.
And win the World Series.
But they lost three guys to nine-figure deals after that. They caught lightning in a bottle 1, 2, 3 times in a row with 100 loss seasons.
Would you rather have one title or zero since 1986?
And they still had a payroll that was through the roof for a period of 4 to 5 years.
They can afford it. If you can't afford it as an owner, get out.
Well, that's what the
learners are. There's other people that would like to buy in that have more money.
Well, the learners are getting out.
Right, I'm just saying, like, here in Milwaukee.
Okay, so you want somebody richer than Attanasio to come in and start spending.
Because
you're already top half of the baseball and payroll.
Here's what I would like to see. The Brewers ownership come out and say, either, you know what, we can't compete financially. We will try hard. Just be honest with us, okay? Be honest. Not the dumpster diving. We're going to pay this guy $10 million for 1 year, and then we're going to trade him for a couple of mediocre guys, a guy named Abraham, okay? There hasn't been a lot of great Abrahams since the Bible and in the Civil War.
They literally traded for a guy named Junk, which I can't. If Dan was on TV, he would have made that every day. He would have been having a
poor Jansen Junk.
Jansen Junk.
Or you can say, you know what? I'm in this to win. I may take some financial losses. I bought this team to win. The people of Wisconsin put up a lot of money to build a stadium, with the idea that at one point in the franchise's history, they would win a World Series, maybe even be in one besides one. It's been 40 years since they were in one. I don't want to hear about the bites of the apple. Nobody wants to hear about
the apple.
The birth pains. They want to see the baby pictures.
Okay, they were one game away from going to the World Series a couple years ago.
They were.
Yep.
Life is cruel. Sports is hard. It doesn't always work out the way you want.
And what did they do after that year? They let a bunch of guys go, and then, you know.
Okay. Well, again, sports is hard. Last year, Brewers 19th in total payroll, $130 million.
What's the strength of this Brewers team? Starting pitching.
The cheap pitching that they're not going to be able to afford. Right. Probably have to trade.
You know, they could have tried to sign those guys to a Freddie Peralta type deal for a couple of years at least. I don't know if they tried that hard. Okay. Spend some money.
So you want the Padres?
Instead, they spent the money on Yelich.
The Padres have gone all in.
Yes.
Their market is larger, but they're a one-team town. Yeah. You know?
They've never been a small market. They position themselves as that, but they're not.
Never really? Okay.
They're not a small market.
A lot of these same excuses were used by the Bucks for many years.
Okay, but the
and then they won.
But they got Giannis.
The Padres,
Giannis didn't do it by himself.
The Padres won, I think, one more playoff game than the Brewers this year. They were a one-pump jump and out. Or no, they won one series.
They won one series.
And then they were bounced out.
They beat the Dodgers.
I know, but still. Would that be good enough for you? No, because you want the World Series.
You beat the Cubs.
You want it all. And I get it. I feel that pain knowing you guys here in Milwaukee.
When you've got a bird in the hand, don't let it fly away.
Okay, so
keep it.
What would you do with both Burns and Woodruff?
I would keep at least one.
At what price?
Whatever the price may be. Yeah,
Drew, what's that price going to be for Woodruff?
$300.
Write up a ticket for Mr. Needles, who's feeling generous right
Burns
now.
Burns will cost
more. Atanasio's money.
Burns will cost more. Woodruff is probably more signable. Might end up being more durable.
No, instead they're going to end up
missing
Freddie Peralta, who's the third best.
There's history here because when I was growing up, they reached this crossroads where it was Yount and Molitor, and they couldn't keep them both. And Paul Molitor went to Toronto and won a World Series and got his 3,000th hit in Minnesota and didn't do it with the Brewers because they kept Robin Yount. Their calculus was that Yount was a position player, not a DH, not just a DH.
And didn't get hurt as much.
And was more popular, perhaps, with the fan base. So that was the Sophie's choice.
Right, I'm going to tell you right
now. And this is a Sophie's choice
right
with
now.
Burns and Woodruff because they ain't keeping both of them.
If the market for pitchers is a 40-year-old coming off arm surgery is worth $43 million for 2 years, 43, 43, 86, then Burns and or Woodruff smell a lot like six for 240.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
About right.
Write the check, Mark.
I don't think Woodruff gets as much as Burns.
Okay,
probably not. But that's $200 million, $170 million.
That's a league the Brewers can't and won't and don't play.
But when they do, as they did with Christian Yelich, they can't miss, and they missed with Christian Yelich.
But Yelich is only
other teams. That's a sunk cost. It's a write off. With the Brewers, that is an albatross. It's an anchor.
I know.
Prevents you from doing other
things.
That's why I say
trade it. Sell the team to somebody who has billions of dollars.
The Ricketts have billions of dollars, and what are they doing?
It's Chicago. What do you expect?
There you go. But
I mean, Yelich was 10 for 200 something. He was like a $24 million player.
He's like 26.
So Burns and Woodruff are going to be $40 million
potentially. When your payroll is 150, you can't have one guy making 40, can you?
If I know somebody rich that wants to buy the Milwaukee Brewers, I'll pass his name to you, and then you can maybe broker the deal. I don't know if those guys exist.
I don't think they do. And when they do, they run it as the business. They don't necessarily go into their own pockets and whip out. They're not that crazy. Steve Cohen is one of the richest guys in the world. And he's, you know, he just got Verlander, but he's let other guys go. Not going to get Judge.
So did you like the Selig Preeb era better?
I'm thinking Selig. No, I did not.
No.
You could go right back to that.
There was a time
with a new owner.
This is a long time ago, and all the crap that Bud Selig gets. He was the owner of the Brewers. Free agency began. The first year free agency went and got Sal Bando. The next year he went and got Larry Heisel. They started to build this team. They drafted incredibly well with Yount and with Molitor and with others. And they built a World Series team. But then money let it all go away. Yeah. Age.
Right.
Was a factor. They didn't draft as well.
TV rights were a factor.
Yes.
Broadcast rights were a factor.
So here's a question for you guys, knowing the market, knowing the fanaticism of the fans. Would the fans trade a World Series championship with a parade right down whatever avenue Wisconsin Avenue, right down to the lake in the park by the lake. Would you trade that for Giannis going to another team?
I think there are some in the town that would do that.
Yeah.
Make that trade.
With the Giannis championship in their back pocket.
That's it.
I think
and the fond memories. Would you trade Giannis?
They've experienced that, so they're aching.
I don't know about trade Giannis, but I think the reality is,
sell your soul.
Right.
Like I'm asking the sell your soul question for Brewer fans, for Milwaukee sports fans. The Brewers are beloved in this town.
In reality's sake, is Giannis going to finish his career in Milwaukee? Is he going to spend his whole career here?
Probably not.
Bet the under.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Is Rodgers going to finish with the Packers, or will he play somewhere else?
Which brings
USFL.
Bet the under.
Which brings me to my last one for you guys today, and I thank you, Mr. Needles, for taking time out of your busy retired I hope you got nowhere to be. You don't have to be there till noon, as the saying goes, right?
Exactly.
And it's already past noon. So, Rodgers, he is quite the fascinating case study in an athlete and a MVP and a Super Bowl champion and the quarterback of a team which has one of the most rich legacies of quarterbacks you can author in the NFL, from Rodgers back to Favre back to Starr.
And Lynn Dickey in the middle of there.
And Always Jim Delgazzo and Carlos Brown.
Lynn Dickey.
Scott Hunter.
Lynn Dickey
was good.
In 1983, led the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns and interceptions.
Yeah. Are you pro Rodgers?
At this point, I would love to see Jordan Love play to see if what we saw in that Eagles game was just a teaser.
Not the question. Are you pro Rodgers? Did you turn on Rodgers? Sounds like he had a turn on Rodgers. I think a lot of people did.
You know what? You know when I turned on Rodgers at Super Bowl 45 on Media Day, where there is a after that season there was going to be a labor
Stop.
Distress. Yes, and on Media Day I ask him a question about that. He says, "Yeah, this isn't the place to ask that question." What is at your locker after the game?
Can I come to your house?
One moment like that is enough to turn Dan. Like,
what an asinine answer. And
Dan hasn't turned on Rodgers. He's turned on, let's see, Ryan Braun, Francisco Rodriguez. There have been many that you've turned on over the years. Generally, it's the highest paid guy.
Is it because of personal interactions?
Saxon, Burnett.
Just how they carry themselves.
A lot of times it's
well, with Braun, it was.
Yeah, he cheated and lied.
And threw a guy under the bus.
Cheated, lied, threw a guy under the bus. Terrible.
But got his money.
Yep.
And was allowed to come back and had a somewhat redemptive final.
No.
Not at all redemptive.
And now Yelich is your guy. Because he's underperforming his contract.
He's been
and
horribly
doesn't like people
underperforming.
Who underperform their contracts in sports.
For God's sakes. If it's like a lot of his supporters say, well, he broke his kneecap. Do you know how many guys have come back from ACLs and done just as well or better?
Yeah.
There's no excuse for Christian Yelich being as bad as he's been. He's the highest paid leadoff hitter in baseball. That's what he's there for, to get some walks. He was a finalist for a gold glove. In what league? He can't make a throw from left field to third base without two hops.
That's an indictment of
he should have been moved to DH and then let Renfro stay and work the young outfielders in, but that's a different story. Rodgers, fantastic quarterback. Fantastic athlete. I think a really good leader in that locker room for many years. I don't know if he still is. At some point, though, it's kind of like I thought the world of Brett Favre. But that other stuff kind of overshadows
after a while.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Favre stuff was in the shadows a lot, though. It wasn't as public as Rodgers. His girlfriends have always been public. And
the Favre stuff was more personal. This scandal with the money in Mississippi is now going to be more than just about him.
Right. Yeah. But Rodgers saying, you know, asking his backup if he believes 9/11 happened and you should
he's
do some research
been a weird
into
guy.
It. He's a weird
dude. He's seen UFOs. He's a conspiracy theorist guy.
And you put up with that. You put up with that until...
Don't need to know that.
How about when he finally does retire and maybe the real weird comes out?
You know what Rodgers
He might have
is?
Had a lot of the weird in the back
you know,
room.
Rodgers is that Hollywood actress. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this because of the now. But you put up with her...
Shit.
Until
you can't.
Right. And then it's like, God, you're nuts. Get out of here. That's Rodgers.
The thing about Rodgers is it's just sickening how it's just followed Favre's path. He's treated Jordan Love better than Favre treated him.
Right.
But other than that, the parallels are
right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And he still does his interviews at his locker a lot of times on Wednesday.
Brett did it in the auditorium.
Exactly. Brett, good or bad?
Because Brett did it in the auditorium. He wanted to be different. No, it was horrible. It was a horrible idea
because too many reporters.
Yeah, and the guy's trying to get in their lockers around there, and they're getting pissed off because they couldn't get in.
Circus.
But
too many cameras. Guys on ladders with cameras.
It was
guys like Dan holding the mics out.
It was inevitable that it was going to get to this point. Rodgers is as good of a thrower of a football as I have ever seen. If you take him technically versus Favre, there is no question.
Right.
But it's all the other stuff. I can't name one as being better than the other.
If you had to win one game, who are you starting?
Depends. Are you down in the fourth quarter? If that's the
it's
case,
it's one
I
game.
Far.
You got him from the beginning, from the
if
opening
you're front
kickoff.
Running, I'll take Rodgers.
Opening okay. kickoff, right. You got him.
When should people retire? As we say, this has been fun. One piece of retirement advice from Dan Needles, who is happily retired, lowered his handicap from a 14 to an 8 at the tender age
it,
of 58 years old. Happily,
I would
married
say
to a school, principal of a
retire as early as you can.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of things that you're able to do in your 50s into early 60s
you won't be able
physically
to
that you won't be able to 70s. Do later.
Right.
And why the greatest thing about being retired is the stress level went from here to down here.
Yeah.
There's no stress. And that takes a lot out of your life. And like every day, for the first 3 months, I felt like I was on vacation. Now I feel like it's Saturday. Every day is Saturday.
Every day is Saturday.
That's amazing.
It, yeah. It's so
I dream
you know
about
what?
This.
If you run out of money, go back to your kids. Go back to your kids and say, I need more money. Now, you don't have any kids to go back to for money, but you can probably get somebody who can borrow money.
Hey,
go to Drew for money.
I wouldn't be retired if not for my old TV station having a pension plan set up.
Nice.
Which was really nice.
Old
and
they, it wasn't
nobody
an
does that anymore.
It's
no,
an
it was not.
Thank God on that. All right, Drew, you got to go do a show.
Indeed.
Anna,
he's joining
fun,
us today.
Oh, he is. Nice.
Yes, indeed.
You're making it work today.
Exactly.
He's retired.
It's after the Packers. He's so good on Twitter, we got to have him on the air.
All right, that is a wrap for today. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Hopefully you like the change of pace today. Always a good conversation to be had with smart people in and around the industry. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.